a wonderful phone call this week. There was a wonderful, delightful couple, Sam and Lisa Slack. I don't know if any of you remember them. They were right back in the beginning when we started the church. And about 10 years ago, plus or minus 10 years ago, they relocated to Australia, to the Gold Coast. And we've been keeping in touch with them via email and Shirley on Facebook. Got a phone call from them this week. And guess what? They came out of Cape Town for a special conference. And we had a tea time together that was just so special, reflecting on God's goodness over the 14 years as a church. And Sam says, remember our three-month-old daughter that you dedicated before we left, and now she's 10 years old. I said, no, I don't see the resemblance. I don't, but you got another daughter. Where is she? Oh, no, she's on a missions trip in Kenya. And I just got so excited to hear that their hearts are passionate about reaching out and serving the King and going beyond our little world into His world. It was just so special. Then Una, during the week, she said, no, there was a guy, I think his name was John, that was looking for you. But you prophesied over him about 5 years ago, and he's looking for you. That's a scary phone call. I'm thinking, and he said, I think he said he had a red T-shirt or shirt on. I said, I don't remember any of that. No, he needs to talk to me. So I said, Una, can give him my number. So he phones me up. And praise the Lord, it wasn't anything to do with the prophecy or anything like that. He said it greatly encouraged him. But in the light of their prophecy, he says, I'm sure you've got the gift of interpretation of signs. So I said, no, I don't. But talk to me. He says he's got a friend that was either P East London, I can't remember, that has cancer. But through the cancer, he's come to faith. And had a wonderful encounter with Jesus. And he went for a walk along the beach and was walking along the beach and saying, Jesus, please just speak to me. Show me that you're real, that you love me. And just talking with the Lord. And as he's walking along the beach, he finds his bottle on the beach and it's closed and sealed. So he looks and there's something in it. So he opens the bottle and in the bottle is a note. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, etc., etc. And then he looks a bit further, and in the bottle is a diamond ring. So he looks at this and he thinks, what's this? So he takes it to a jeweler, and it's worth 7,000 rand. So now he phones me and asks me for the interpretation of that. Is he going to live or die? I said, I don't know, but God knows your address. He knows where you live. And He loves you, and He's got something to say to you. And can I say to you this morning that He knows your address. He knows where you live. And He wants to say something specific, significant, real, meaningful to you. And I just marvel at God's geniusness. God's not clever. He's a genius. He's a genius. The Bible says in Him dwells the fullness of all knowledge and wisdom. You know, besides that person picking up that bottle on that beach with that note, with the ring, I think about the person that threw the bottle in the water. How cool is that? For God to connect the two. God is a connector of note. Now, this morning there's so much I want to share and say, but there was a particular picture of the handover, and the writing never came out on the bottom. It's the 15th of September. You need to have it etched in your minds and your hearts and in your diaries. And that is going to be a weekend of major significance with reference to the handover of life changes from the leadership that Shirley and I have been privileged to Mark and Candace. And can I encourage you and remind you, we're not leaving. We're just going to be part of Mark's team as he leads the church forward into all God's plans and purposes for the future. And we're going to be repositioned into being an evangelist and my primary gift to help people and equip people in that regard. But as I look at that particular amazing picture of Cape Point where the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean meet, I cannot help but think back when Bartholomew Diaz in 1488 turned his ship around and saw that amazing picture. He was from Portugal looking to have a trade route to the east, and he came around the Cape of Good Point and he saw that. It's amazing. He was making history, but he didn't know it. Can I say to you as a church, March 1999, when Shirley and I planted the church with our two daughters, we had no idea that this was going to be some of the fruit of it. And Shirley and I are going to be so privileged to hand over, and it's going to be a mega milestone in Life Changes Church. Your future and your and the purposes that God's going to unfold, it's going to be huge impact in our lives. Can I say to you, we're expecting plus or minus 700 upward folk coming along. Invitations have been sent out and getting some replies. One of my elders in a previous church that I pastored, Nelson and Pat, phones me up. He says, Wally, this is so exciting. We're flying down. We're coming down. Other friends say, we're going to be there to celebrate together with you. Can I say to you, as I was reflecting upon this coming, that weekend on the 15th of September, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, let not just the service be a momentous moment, but let the weekend be a memory for everyone that comes. Now, for that to happen, God wants all of us to be on board for something significant. And I'm wanting to share with you about that this morning, how we as a church can begin to prepare for the handover, that it's going to be a memorable one that people will be talking about in months and years down the road. And it's not just going to be Rory that's going to be preaching, that's going to make it so significant, or Mark or Candace or the few words I'm going to share. It's going to be the whole congregation teaming together to open up their hearts and their homes to those that are coming, that they'll feel so loved, so welcomed, and a rich God deposit placed in them for a passion for Jesus, that wherever they go, there's a greater degree of fervency in their hearts for Him. That's what we're really desiring and believing. And we as a church have the amazing opportunity to exercise the gift of hospitality. It's one of the neglected, unpreached about gifts that I'm wanting to discuss and preach to you this morning about. The Bible speaks in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. I'm going to be teaching more than preaching this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, it says, offer hospitality to one another. It's a beautiful instruction of offering hospitality to one another. A month ago, when the elders and Shirley and I, we went through to Durban to the Call Conference, we were hosted by an eldership couple called Nick and Anna. I can't even pronounce their surname. It's longer than mine. But they're Greek descent. And they're a wonderful, amazing couple. We arrived at their flat, Shirley and I, and as we sort of get brought into the lounge, they had coffee and tea, and we chatted, what have you. And they said, well, we can just take your bags through to your bedroom and settle you in the bedroom. So I thought, that's cool. And as they take us through the passage of their flat to the bedroom, all of a sudden I realize, now hold on a moment, this is not the guest bedroom, this is their bedroom. And I said, whoa, 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 Nick, no, you've gone too far. We'll take that room. He said, no. When we host anybody, we give them the best, our bedroom. I said, no, Nick, I cannot. And they said, then we're going to have our first fight. I said, no. And eventually I realized that I'm not going to win. And so we graciously, humbly accepted their most amazing offer. And we were there. I'm deeply, deeply humbled and moved by not just that offer, but the way they served us and loved us. Now, some of you that do know us, we love our veggies and fruit. Boy, did we veg out and fruit out that weekend. They just served us. It was just a wonderful time. And as we chatted, engaged over meals, found out that she's a medical scientist at Durban University. She travels the world at the World Health seminars and conferences around the world, lectures and teaches, and some of the medical breakthroughs that she's developed and discovered with other scientists. I just sat there thinking, wow, Jesus. And now God's using her and her hubby in phenomenal ways. And we were just privileged to be able to enjoy that. And after we left, I said, guess what, Shaw? I've made a cool friend. I've made a cool friend. We've had contact subsequently. They're over in the UK at the moment. But can I say to you, in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, Romans 12, 13, Paul beautifully puts it with instruction to the Roman church. He says, just practice hospitality. He just puts it simply, practice hospitality. Now, we've got a number of couples in this church that excel in that gift of hospitality. Quinton and Louise, par excellence with reference just to, you just feel so loved and accepted and part of their family when you visit. Brett and Shirley, another, and there's dozens of you here this morning. And there's others of you that I'm wanting to awaken that gift in your heart and in your life. But there's an amazing portion of Scripture towards the end of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16, verse 23. Now this morning, as I said, I'm going to be teaching and going line upon line. It's interesting in Paul's farewell letter to the book of Romans, where the first number of chapters he deals with doctrine and he just the beauty and the greatness of grace and salvation. But at the end he's saying farewell to numbers of individuals, and he says in verse 23, he says, greet Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here have enjoyed. So Paul, by divine inspiration, singles out an individual who says, his hospitality I and everyone have enjoyed. And it's interesting, as you follow Gaius through the book of Acts, you can see that he became a close friend of the Apostle Paul, and then Paul started taking him on some of his missionary journeys. You can read the next chapter 19, verse 26. And the amazing thing is, in 3 John chapter 1, verse 1, in his John's letter to the church there, he speaks about Paul, about Gaius, my dear friend. How it's beautiful from a friendship, how there was a deep friend. And can I say, hospitality is a place where deep, meaningful friendships can start, develop, and continue. Can I say to you, the easiest place to be a Christian is here on a Sunday morning. The easiest place. Everybody worships God, read your Bible, pray together. The most real place where your Christianity is lived out is at home and in the marketplace. That's when you're real and raw and rugged, and that's just where life really happens. And can I say, when life really happens, that's when relationships are formed and developed. Here it's fellowship with the back of a person's head. In the home, it's face to face. God is wanting us to have face to face. Can I say, sadly, today's cultures, it's more restaurants and coffee bars and not our homes. And it's become an expensive thing. And often we cannot go out because of the economic times. I believe God wants us to rediscover the profound power of a home when we exercise the gift of hospitality. Sadly, many of us have made our house our place of refuge instead of a place of refuge. Where we say our home is our little castle, it's my place, instead of saying, no, 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 I want to begin to have an open home, open heart policy. I'd like to give to you the definition of hospitality. It's the friendly, generous receiving of friends and strangers into one's home from the heart. It's the welcoming, the acceptance, and it's the expression of love. It's what hospitality is. The root meaning of the word hospitality comes from the word hospital, where needy, emotionally hurting, discouraged people can come in and be envisioned, encouraged, and lifted up. It's amazing when you look at the word hospitality. It's just such a broad but a beautiful thing. Some people say, oh, you know what? Hospitality, that's actually not my gift. Can I say, each and every one of us as believers are called in some way, in some degree, to exercise the gift of hospitality. In fact, it is so important, it's one of the requirements for biblical eldership and deaconship. If you read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it says, now an elder, an overseer, must be above reproach, husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, and then Paul says, hospitable. Because if an elder doesn't have an open heart and an open home, that's where much of ministry takes place, is in the home, not just in the pulpit. It's one of the requirements. In fact, hospitality is one of the areas that on Judgment Day, each and every one of us will have to give an account. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25? He says, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And he says, when I was a stranger, you welcomed me in. So one day we're going to stand before God and give an account at how open were our hearts and our homes to hospitality. Interestingly too, hospitality is a biblical custom where a person's reputation was largely connected to their hospitality. Person's reputation largely connected to their hospitality. For example, Genesis 18 from verse 1 to 4. Remember the three strangers that Abraham met. How he'd welcomed them in, killed the goat and provided bread, etc. And that was the Trinity visiting them. And there was the blessing where Sarah was promised with a child, Isaac. You can read that all in there. But it was considered shameful to turn away anybody from your door. Bible customs and manners, it was shameful. In fact, in 1 Samuel 25, remember David and his mighty band of warriors, they at a particular time were looking after Nabal, who was a wealthy owner of much land, sheep and goats. And David looked after them, and David wanted to be replenished and had Nabal exercised hospitality to him, but Nabal disregarded and despised them. In fact, David then wanted to go kill him because he didn't offer hospitality. But Abigail, his wife, came in and rescued the situation. You can read that in 1 Samuel 25. It's a fascinating portion of Scripture. But it's interesting, when Shirley and I had the privilege a couple of years ago, went and traveled Turkey and visited the seven churches, which it was Asia Minor in Bible days, Turkey today, and how the strong culture of hospitality still is deeply entrenched and rooted in those people. You just meet somebody on the streets, total stranger. They'll invite you to their place for coffee, for a meal, and they'll just roll out the red carpet for you. It's just part of their culture, and it was part of Jewish culture as well. And it was part of early church culture, which we'll look at in a moment. But I believe it's so important for us to recognize and understand that. In the Gospels, it's interesting, many people think that most of the miracles that Jesus performed took place in the temple. I want to remind you that most of the notable, significant miracles Jesus performed happened in homes. In Mark chapter 5, remember Tabitha, the young girl that was raised from the dead, happened in a home, not in the temple. Do you remember the centurion whose servant was sick at home, and Jesus spoke the word and he was healed at the home at that very hour? Do you remember in Luke 10 with Mary and Martha? They were extending hospitality towards Jesus. That's made note. In Luke 19, remember Jesus spotting Zacchaeus up the tree. He said, come down, I'm coming to your house for lunch. And what happened as a result, Zacchaeus and his whole family got saved. I nearly didn't make it this morning. God, you surprised? I was on my way to the meeting, and as I drove around the corner of my new home, I'm busy meeting all our new neighbors, I met a new guy, Bernard, who was busy washing his car. And I started chatting, and I was so torn. Oh, Lord, to preach Sunday morning, or just love on this new neighbor that I've just met. It was a hard call, but I know where he lives, I know his name, and I'm going to go see him this week. But I wanted to be here. Can I say to you, there needs to be a stirring in our hearts of getting to know our neighbors in our community. We know about four or five of them, and we've been there 10 days. And we're just loving on and connecting and looking so forward just to be able to have them in our homes for tea, go visit them, connect with them, and just love on them. Can I say hospitality and just showing a kindness is often so looked down and frowned upon, but to me is a profound, powerful thing. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 6, remember when Jesus went to the home of Simon the leper. Now, lepers in those days were really, really like frowned upon and kept away. He was possibly healed because they had to be lepers, were always separated from the general community and the populace. But he must have been healed, but he was still referred to as Simon the leper. But Jesus goes and visits him, and there a woman comes and anoints Jesus with a very special perfume. And remember that the disciples sort of, oh, but that's waste, it's much money, etc. Jesus said, leave her alone. What she has done has prepared me for my burial. Jesus' burial preparations took place in a home. The Bible says that the fragrance of the perfume filled the home. I believe with all my heart, when we extend biblical hospitality to others, the presence of Jesus will fill the whole home and the whole house. When we begin to wash one another's feet in serving one another, I believe the presence of Jesus comes in a powerful way. Now, here in Life Changes, over the last 14 years, we've had many different ministries visiting Life Changes Church. And one of the most significant that we've had was a prophetess called Kerry Southey. Some of you will remember her. She fell asleep and went to be with Jesus 4 or 5 years ago. I was a great loss and a great pain because she was a real dear friend of ours. And she, on the 19th of June 2001, when she visited Life Changes for a weekend, she had a significant prophetic word. And I'd like to read to you a portion of that prophetic word because of its relevancy and significance for us here and now. And this one portion I'm going to read, she prophesied, she said to us as a church, your best tool for ministry is your home. Then she continued, there is a difference between entertaining and hospitality. Entertaining says, let me impress you. Hospitality says, let me share with you with what I have and share my life with you. She continues, use your home. Invite people, first of all, from the body. Just hang together with people that you don't really know. Do unspiritual stuff as well as spiritual stuff. Use your home to its maximum. You don't have to have it all fancy. Use your homes again to the max. With the busy lives that we lead, the devil is pushing for us not to use our homes. But Jesus did his best miracles in homes. And then the prophetic word continues. But I just wanted to, again, it was a prophetic reminder of us not to forget the importance of our homes, because that's where real Christianity is lived out. What's the difference between entertainment and hospitality? Entertainment is the world's way of wanting to impress. Most times it's rooted in pride, whether it's the good cooking or the this or the that. I remember the one time when I pastored in Pinetown about 25 years ago, there was this particular couple in the church. And it's so funny, when you're pastoring a church, you're always first to come, last to leave. So you don't know who drives what. Because often what you drive has a link to status. Some people, they can drive whatever, but it doesn't matter. And anyhow, I didn't know this particular couple. And I remember they'd invited Shirley and I for dinner. So we thought, oh, let's go get to know them. So eventually we find this place, a mansion and a half. And as we get there, we realize, uh-oh, this is not hospitality. This is some serious entertaining that's happening here. There was courses laid on. The cutlery, I almost felt I was like in a gym. And I said, oh, these are heavy. He says, no, they're silver. And I thought, gee, I don't think I've ever eaten or almost felt like solid silver. And we get chatting. He's just talking about this business. And I said, hey, well, I want to show you something. So we go down to his garage, and he says, this is this Ferrari red thing, and it's, he quoted to me all the things. Now, you know me and cars. To me, it's a red car that goes fast. That's all I know. Opens up the engine, and he says, and it was like immaculate. And he could see I wasn't overly impressed because I don't know too much about cars. And he says that the tiles were imported from Italy that the car rests upon in the garage. And I was just like, okay, what next, you know? So we went back upstairs, and as we started chatting into the evening, realized that his marriage has fallen apart. Second marriage, and his business that was exceptionally successful, his one partner started being fraudulent and things were a bit shaky. So the first part of the evening, he was trying to impress. The second part, Shirley and I were ministering grace and love to them. Can I say, let's always start off by saying, we're not going to detain. We want to just extend hospitality. Hospitality is a gift from God where we mutually share and stir. When you entertain, things become the focus. Hospitality, people are the focus. When you entertain, it's plastic, it's superficial. People won't feel comfortable and relaxed. But hospitality, it's being real. It's as I am. What you see is what you get. And that's the most important element and aspect. Entertainment says, this is what I've got, what I've achieved, what I've earned. Hospitality says, what's mine is yours, and it's here to share. Hospitality just does it for the sheer pleasure and joy of serving without expecting a return. Entertainment is generally very selective for certain friends and family over that sort of meet a criteria. Hospitality is just to the whosoever. Entertainment is for your own credit and glory. Hospitality is for the glory and honor of the King. Now in the early church, and I want to conclude before I do a few practical, hospitality was an integral part of the life of the early church. And I believe God wants us to recapture that. With the numerous folk that are coming down from all over the country, they will be needing hospitality. And as I said at the beginning, I'm trusting for it to be a memorable weekend. A memorable weekend, not just a wow service. Not just a wow service. Interesting, the early church, they met in three places: the temple, the home, and the marketplace, the agora. And to me, as you go through the book of Acts, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit, it says in Acts chapter 2, it happened that they were in the upper room of a house when the Holy Spirit was poured out. They weren't in the temple, they were in the upper room of a house. I want to say, no matter whether you've got a double story or not, the Holy Spirit can invade your house as you open your heart to hospitality. The Bible speaks so much in the book of Acts how Paul and Saul and others in Cornelius, I just love that in Acts chapter 10, where it was forbidden for Jews to mix with the Gentiles or the Romans. They were like unclean. And how Peter, God gave him that vision and a sheet coming down and said, don't call anything unclean that I have cleaned. Phenomenal. But how Peter goes and has a meal with Simon the Tanner, who was an unclean, regarded as unclean, because he dealt with skins that defiled a Jew. And how they just mixed and mingled. And in fact, there was a whole big debate about that, how he dealt with uncircumcised people. That's what they were considered. But God wants us to begin to break down those barriers. Much of the early church took place in homes. Paul and Silas, it was in a home where they were invited to by Priscilla and Aquila. It's interesting that I want to conclude this one in Romans chapter 20, Acts 28 verse 30. For some of you might think, well, Wally, I don't own a home. I've got a rented home. And I think this particular portion was just placed in for those that rent a home. It says, for two whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented home and welcomed all who came to see him. The Apostle Paul himself extended hospitality. Now there's numerous different sides to hospitality. There's the practical side, there's the relational side, and there's the spiritual side. Now many people want to think, well, you know, that home is a cold home or a warm home, depending what direction it's facing. Generally here, a north-facing home as a warm home. Can I say to you this morning, it's not naturally geographically compass-bearing points whether your home is warm or not. It's whether God's love and His acceptance is in your home will determine the God warmth of it. It's not the decor. It's the heart to serve. And it's the open hearts of the people that make the difference. I want to say, besides the 15th of September with the handover and that whole weekend, I believe God wants us to open our homes to hospitality. Can I say to you, start in small ways. For example, I know there's a number of you that are outstanding bakers. I know Nikki at the back there, your oat crunchies are famous. Famous. I saw the bundles that you made for the team that went up to Namibia, and I almost wanted to put my name on and say, I'll go up to Namibia, not just to preach, but to enjoy some of those munchies. And there's others of you that just are gifted in that area. Can I say to you, just inviting over somebody, a stranger, for a cup of tea and some biscuits or scones or something could just make such a difference in their lives. Because you know what? They've made a friend. Somebody's expressed care to them. Makes such a difference. Can I say, it's not a three-course gourmet meals. It's whatever you're having, I'll share with you. Whether you're having boerewors rolls or just a pasta or a pizza or whatever, it's just there to share. And the sharing is caring that touches people deeply. I've learned this by experience. Don't invite anybody over for a meal without chatting to your wife first. Besides you washing the dishes, it will be for the whole week or maybe the month. Always speak to your wife or vice versa to say, is it all right for us to invite so-and-so over? I've seen them once or twice on a Sunday. I've had a coffee, but I'd really like to get to know them a little better. Then agree together and extend the invitation. Can I say there needs to be the planned and there needs to be the spontaneous? We need to be flexible in both. Very important for that. Otherwise, we get very rigid. Can I say, we need to prepare our kids. I remember when our girls were a lot smaller, we would say, are we having, for example, Murray and Michelle over, and they've got Jethro and Gemma. They're going to be coming to play. And the first thing that, oh, I've got to share my toys. But what you do is you prepare your kids for other kids to come to say, it's a great opportunity to share. Because sharing is caring and it's Christ-likeness. So it's preparing them. I don't know, as your kids become teenagers, something emerges in them that you have to deal with when you say, we're going to invite so-and-so around, and they've got little kids. Oh, do I have to babysit? And you say, you don't have to, but it would really be nice if you did. And what you do is you prepare them to be able to extend hospitality as well. So you're involving and engaging. Can I say what we used to do when we were aware of small children coming? We used to remove all things that were breakable off and take it a bit higher up. Otherwise, it becomes very awkward for people coming when there's little kids running around and then they're scared of this falling or breaking. There's a practical side of hospitality. You can't rearrange everything. But to the best of your ability, do that there's a comfortability in your hospitality. Can I encourage you? I believe this is a word that I believe some of you here that have got unsaved husbands or wives, they won't come to a Sunday celebration, but they would respond to an invite for dinner or for lunch. And through that, you can begin to start winning their hearts to the Lord. I believe it's a very underutilized gift that God wants us to grow in. Can I say, in your hospitality, there's the relational side of ask more questions to get to know the people. Don't just tell them everything you're doing and have done or plan to do. It's engaging with them that they feel loved and a part of your family. Then there's the spiritual side where you don't preach to people. Don't get over-religious. Just be real. Be natural. And the Lord weaves conversation around to here to there. that you can just tell them, you know, I'll pray for you. What do you think about this or think about that? I do believe that God wants us to use our home in a greater way. My question, most of you this morning, had Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. But is He Lord of your home? Who has the title deeds to your property? Does He have them or do you own them? You all know the number to your front door key, M14J or M16 whatever, whatever. Some of you might know it, some of you don't. I'm just so glad my back door and my office key are the same. I was at my age, I put my glasses on and find the right key. So I sort of got my office keys and home keys separate. I used to have them all in one bunch. If I fell in a pool, I'd go right to the bottom. There's so many of them. But can I say to you, have you ever taken your house key, your front door key, and said, Lord, this key belongs to you. Whoever you would like me to extend hospitality to, that's what I'd love to do. I know Rion and Maria, they have regularly people, Greg and Lynn as well. We've had over different times, different young people stay with us for 2-3 months. Our lives have just been so enriched by that. Can I say to you, I believe God is going to awaken that again in us, where we can just model something of Christianity to people. We can just love on people. What we're going to do is, before we pray, is this morning, as you walk out, Una, my secretary, is there, and there's going to be clipboards for those that say, that weekend, I would like to have our home available to host people. We've got a guest bedroom, or we've got a bedroom that we're willing to give to Jesus. And whether it's a single individual you can have, or a couple, or a family, I'd ask you to put your names down there, and then we will make contact with you with reference to that. And some of you might say, oh, you know what, our home is small. We cannot have anybody. We don't have a spare bed or anything. I want to say to you is that we would love to so bless those that come from out of town to that weekend handover. If you cannot host anybody, you could make a goodie bag. I don't know what's a better word for it, but you get a nice packet, and in it you can put biltong and chips and a prophetic note and a this, and if you find out there's kids, and you can fill that and say to folk, this is from Life Changes with all of our love. How meaningful would that be to some folk that come? And you might say, well, I haven't even got the finance for that. Then I want to say, but if you've got a vehicle, can I say, you could assist with helping people from transport from the airport here. Sunday evening, we're not going to be having a service because of the enormousness of the service in the morning. But Sunday after lunch, some people are only going to fly out late on Sunday evening or first thing Monday morning. How about, with your vehicle, taking them to drive around the waterfront, around Camps Bay, 12 Apostles, or Hub Bay, or just somewhere up Signal Hill, and just show them the beauty of Cape Town. Take a flask of coffee and some muffins or something. Imagine that. Making some friends. See, all of us on every level can extend hospitality in some way. How cool would that be this weekend? That when people years down the road say, oh, I went to a church handover in Cape Town, Life Changes. Man, it was so memorable, I'll never be the same again. We were served and spoiled and treated in such a way. Man, if ever you're in Cape Town, you've got to go visit that church. If you know anybody in Cape Town, that's a church to go to. It's the whole body loving on others. I believe this morning I'm through, and I don't want to have an emotional response, but I want to say I do believe God is saying, do you have the keys or do I have the keys to your home? Can I say to you, I've stayed in 5-star places, but I've stayed in the most humble of dwellings. I remember, for me, one of the most moving places I've ever stayed. We did an outreach into Swaziland, where we went with 4x4 many, many years ago, as far as we could drive, till we couldn't drive anymore. Then we loaded up all our Bibles and food and everything on the back, and we just started walking, looking for villages to preach the gospel to. And I tell you what, those villages were so welcoming and embracing. I remember going to this one particular hut. No electricity, no running water, nothing. We preached. Most of the village responded. And it was too late to go. So we slept there the night. On the floor, that's just how it was. And I thought, whoa, you know, just to do it a night or two is okay. But to live like this, whoa. They were so grateful for what we had done. This particular main chief of this little village, he comes to Tony Warby and myself who were leading it. He says, we are so grateful, here's a chicken for you. So this chicken comes all tied up at the feet. He hands us his chicken. And now we're off to the next village and then we're going to, on the way, come back. And so we go off and I say to Tony, what do we do with this chicken? They've given it to us to eat because it's like their, it's like for them, it's really. So now we're walking along, we call this thing Henriette. So we give it a name. And I said to Tony, I've never killed a chicken in my life. I remember as a boy shooting a bird with a pellet gun. I felt terrible. Now I've got to kill this thing and eat it. I feel like a cannibal. I can't. It's one thing, rainbow chicken in pick and pay. That's fine. But actually, kill the thing and defeather it and eat it. So we're walking after about half an hour. I said, let's let this thing go. So we cut the thing, let the thing run. And off it went. Went into the bush and that was that. So night or two. And now on our way back, we pass through the same village. And there they are greeting us with Henriette under the arm. Now we were, I said, how did this thing get back home? I didn't know, but chickens have got some homing device somewhere, somehow in the bird sort of brain got home. So now that night, the guy says, this is our dinner. So yeah, Tony and I, we sort of ching chong cha, who's going to cut its head off? It was horrific. I needed trauma counseling afterwards. First time, had it off with the head. Poor Tony got the blood all over him. Plucked it, cooked it. It's the only chicken dish it went hard to swallow. But for them, it was the height of hospitality, giving us their very best. Can I say to you this morning, whether it's chicken wings or whatever, give your best because it's for the King. Remember Jesus one day on John, he said, I was a stranger, did you invite me in? Can I say this morning, if you feel in your heart, I want to open my home more and more to strangers and extend the gift of hospitality, I want you to take your home keys in your hand now and I want you to stand and we're going to pray. Father, this morning, as we conclude, we hold the keys to our home, whether it's rented or whether we own it. We acknowledge this morning you are the owner of all things. Lord, this morning it's a privilege to have a roof over our heads. And Lord, this morning we want to say we want to open our hearts and our homes to strangers and other people. Lord, we want to exercise the gift of hospitality, not entertainment. Lord, we want to so serve others the way Jesus, you served us. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon our hearts, that we would start in some way to make the circle bigger, to have not just our friends over to our home, but strangers and people that we don't know that well. Jesus, you said, if you only invite those that you know, that can bless you in return, what is that to your credit? Lord, we want to open our homes and hearts. I pray, stir us to action. In your wonderful name, Lord Jesus.